Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello everybody, welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Rich, I'm joined by Josh.
Hello!
Josh, are you excited to play games this year?
Hell yeah, I am,
well,
Rich.
Well, you shouldn't be, because you're playing them all next year.
Oh, brilliant.
Because it seems to be that a running trend in the gaming industry come the latter sort of quarter of the year is everything is being delayed.
Everything in one day, Rich.
Yeah, everything's being delayed.
The Last of Us got a delay, Watch Dogs Legion got a delay, Rainbow Six Quarantine got a delay, and Ubisoft's Gods and Monsters got delayed until the next fiscal year, which starts after March 2020. All of those Ubisoft games, and The Last of Us, actually, while I remember it, were supposed to come out, you know, this fiscal year, which ends next March, which would bolster everyone's sales. But Ubisoft, in particular, has come out and just sort of said, look, we want these games to be as good as they can possibly be, so we're going to push them. The Last of Us has a new date of May 29th, I think is correct.
Oh, has that been confirmed?
That was confirmed by Naughty Dog yesterday. But yeah, these Ubisoft games currently are just sort of in the ether. We don't have any idea when they're going to come out. But this is not a bad thing, in my opinion.
No, absolutely
not. Delays for games only ever make them better. There is that great quote that says, I think it's a bad game is sort of bad forever.
Yeah,
I don't know, something smart and insightful that I can't mangle here. But anyway, the point is that Ubisoft, and I quote, wants more development time to ensure that their respective innovations are perfectly implemented so as to deliver optimal experiences for players. And that is a good thing, because over the past couple of, you know, weeks, months, this year especially, has seen a lot of broken games come out that fans just haven't jived with. They've been empty, they've been bug fests like WWE 2K20, which we'll get onto in a bit, and we've just kind of been sat dejected. Is this the state of games at the moment? This surely can't continue, and hopefully this is a sign that publishers are actually paying attention and going to, you know, actually polish their games so that they're full releases.
Absolutely. I mean, as you said, things have been released and they've been buggy, they've been broken. You know, Breakpoint has been one of the two bigger failures in terms of like actual quality, in terms of the actual, like, how robust the game actually is. Breakpoint, as Ubisoft has said, because this Ubisoft delaying stuff, this hasn't just suddenly come at, oh, we should try and actually make this better. It's come at a, we've done really badly so far this year. Let's try and make stuff up, because Ubisoft have said that Breakpoint's sales have been
very disappointing,
and The Division was under expectations. Yep. I'm guessing Division has dropped somewhat, and Breakpoint has plummeted in terms of what they've expected. And if you've seen literally any coverage of Breakpoint, it's because the game is a mess. It's monetized to hell, it's buggy as crap, and it's just hollow, it's empty, it's just not... It's strange, like, people look back at the Ghost Recon series. I've not played the Ghost Recon games, but I know that going back to their original handful of games, like through the 360 era, they were some really, really good games. I remember getting very, very hyped to play Future Soldier, which I never actually got.
Oh, it was actually... I heard a lot of people think it's okay. I really like it.
But again, it's not the model that it is now. But the fact that companies are taking this approach and thinking, right, let's take the time to make this right, is good. It's not anything new. Last gen... Last of Us got delayed, which again, one of the greatest games ever made. Portal 2 got delayed by, again, only a couple of months.
One of the greatest games ever made.
Not to say that if they weren't delayed, they wouldn't be the greatest games ever made, but maybe there was just that little thing that just tipped it over the edge that took place in that last 5-6 months of a delay. I think Nintendo are the people who've really sparked this sudden, like, realization that, oh, wait, we need to make games right.
Mm-hmm.
Make games correct again.
And then people will buy them, Rich.
Yes.
It's weird, isn't it?
I mean, you may remember, I think this was early this year, or it might have been last year, I can't remember exactly, but when Metroid Prime 4 got delayed.
Yeah.
And they said, right... It was last year.
I think so. It's been delayed so many times now and rebooted.
They were like, right, here's Metroid Prime 4, we're doing it. And then, you know, so many months later, they say, right, we're starting again. Mm-hmm. We're going to give it back to Retro Studios because I don't think they weren't doing Metroid Prime 4, which kind of seemed weird in the first place. But anyway, they said, literally, Nintendo just came out and they were like, we're really sorry. We're going to restart Metroid Prime 4 from the beginning. We're going to give it back to Retro and we'll start it again. Yes, people were a bit pissed off.
But there's in the long run...
There's no leg to stand on being pissed off at a game delay. And genuinely, most of the people, when they said we're delaying it, were like, fine.
Yeah.
Do it right. I mean, you know, a couple of weeks ago when Doom Eternal got delayed, I was distraught. Mm-hmm. But then it's like...
But...
No. It's shut up, Rich. It's fine. They're delaying it for 5 months.
Yeah.
I can wait. I want to make it right.
Sort of reaction to big delays, especially games you're looking forward to. I'm looking forward to The Last of Us Part 2 so much. Was looking forward to playing that in February next year. And it was sort of initially disappointing to hear that I had been pushed.
But it always is.
It's only on a personal level. It's got nothing on the sort of the developers. They should take the time to make great games because we've seen this year when big titles are beholden to their initial release dates. We know that from insiders that Anthem, for instance, was the latest that could come out was at the end of the last financial year, which ended on March 2019. Yeah. So it went right down to the wire. Mm-hmm. And that was bad. That could have needed another 6 months of development time to get where it needed to be.
It was still like November, but even like Fallout 76 could have done with another, if it did release right at the end of the fiscal year, earlier this year. Like, that could have helped it
a few more months, you will miss financial sort of targets. But at the same time, we've now seen, thanks to... Because all of this information came from an Ubisoft sort of financial report for their most recent quarter, and all of these games performed under expectations. But if you push a game out to sort of meet a deadline so you have something to bring to shareholders, that is great in the short term because you have something to show for it. Yeah. But if it's buggy, if it's a mess, if players don't resonate with it, it's going to hit you in the wallet anyway, like these games have evidently showed.
It also brings crunch to the table as well.
Exactly.
It's the one thing that delaying will also combat is the crunch culture, because obviously it's only when they need to go, crap, we've got this release date, it's coming, because they're not going to budge on allowing that release date to be a bit more flexible, they're going to crunch people to death. It's like, I mean, you know, we've had Sony have delayed Last of Us, we've had Bethesda delay Doom, we had Ubisoft delay this, the last big, I mean, EA kind of aren't really involved in this, I don't know, they've not really delayed stuff in the past as far as I know.
I don't know what's going on with EA.
the next thing on the horizon that could be delayed, I wouldn't even say Cyberpunk would be delayed, I think they're okay. I think if they've made a release date, they know that they're ready to release it, which is great, because that's what CD Projekt do. But like Activision, as an example, with Call of Duty 2020, I mean, Modern Warfare releases today.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're already going to start thinking, okay, what's next? Now that Treyarch have got 2/3 of their development period, could they delay that? No. That's one of the games that they're not going to delay.
No.
Which is a shame.
By the sounds of it, I'm not sure if you guys are clued up on the production for the next Call of Duty, but the rumors suggest that it's kind of been a mess. Sledgehammer, and I think it was High Moon.
Sledgehammer, High Moon, and Raven.
And Raven. They were all working on the next Call of Duty, but apparently Activision didn't like the way it was shaping up, so they brought Treyarch in to hopefully kind of retool it as a Black Ops game. But the fact remains that the Call of Duty series releases on a yearly cycle, and Activision
not
are
break
so
it.
Hesitant to break away from that. We've seen Ubisoft, for as much as Ubisoft get wrong, they are sort of responsive when things aren't going well. When Assassin's Creed was coming out on a yearly schedule, they realized they were just driving it into the ground, so now it's on a 2-year schedule and the series is all the better for it, and hopefully these games and these franchises will be the same. But yes, like you mentioned, Rich, there are some publishers which refuse to do it at all, and Activision is one of them, and maybe even EA. Hopefully EA has got the message as well, but
look at FIFA 20, that's been an absolute state as well.
Yeah, man.
And again, it's one of those things where it's so ingrained in doing a yearly release that delaying it isn't a thing.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, like getting a narrative game like something like The Last of Us, like the fact that delayed that, fine, take your time with it. There is no pressure to get it released in a particular time.
Well, no, exactly. Sony have been really good at it, and I know I sound like a Sony fanboy in all of these videos, but they mentioned in the past that, you know, they're more open to taking longer on their games. They're not going to be beholden to these release dates that they arbitrarily put down, you know, before the end of the financial year. They've even outright said that going into the next generation, expect fewer games, but higher quality games.
And
I think
that's
ultimately
fine.
That's the way to go.
Because at the end of the day, if you're releasing games that people you're expected to, like, play solidly for a good amount of time, if you're getting those more and more and more, then it starts to defeat the purpose of having a game you can lose yourself into. That's why the idea of everything being open world and everything having like a billion things to do. It's like having one of those releasing like every, you know, 4 or 5 months. It's like, this is just silly.
Well, that's
give
what
me
Ubisoft...
time with this game.
Rich, you got into a big gripe of mine here, because the thing with sort of live service games is like exactly what you said. You're supposed to invest your more or less entire life into them. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to really lose yourself in these worlds, check in every day, do the checklists. They're supposed to be sort of binged and indulged on. But when we have so many of them, even just by their own, from their own franchises and companies releasing every couple of years, it's diminishing returns because they can't be as big as you want them to be. They can't be as different as you want them to be. And at some point, players are just sort of going to get sick of having the same kind of experience over and over again. So many games get compared to Destiny. And yeah, that's fine, because
that
Destiny
was kind of the first
has a good model.
Big sort of live service game
that was
sort of mega mainstream.
Essentially, so. The title that ushered in sort of games as service as we know them. But every game sort of gets compared to that. And there's not enough sort of differences in there. They all use sort of the same base model. And because they all demand all of your time, it's just kind of not feasible. And I think that's also partly why players aren't actually even buying the games. But this does also link to some more WWE 2K20 news, because Sony are offering refunds to some players who are, you know, rightly so, displeased with the state of the game. Obviously, it's a totally buggy mess, and kind of links in with what we've just been saying here. When you release games that are of this standard, players take notice, and then it does eventually. It might not happen straight away. It might be the next sequel, but it will eventually hit these publishers where it hurts, which is their money and, you know, their yearly takings. And hopefully, I think 2019's just sort of been a melting pot of these games that have come out either broken or just unfinished and, you know, lacking in content, like Anthem and stuff like that.
It's a shame, but also, yeah, the idea that publishers are looking at this and going, okay, we can delay things now. If you're the kind of person to be like, oh, it's been delayed, oh, I hate this now, oh, it's rubbish, it's like, well then, you know, that's kind of not naive, but just sort of silly, really, to have that approach. Yes, as we've said, it does feel like that when it instantly happens, that sort of sudden dread when you realise a game that you've been, like for me with Doom, because Doom is only going to be like less than a month away now, originally, and now it's going to be another 4 or 5 months away. And that sense of dread when I read it's been delayed till March, it's like, but at the end of the day, yeah, it's hard to swallow that, but when you do swallow it, it's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You can wait. It's fine.
And there are so many games, Rich, to play, you know?
Yeah. I've got Outer Worlds and Modern Warfare to start.
Don't remind
literally
me.
From today.
Do you not remind me?
How do I get about playing one of these games I've been looking forward to, but also one of these games I'm going to lose myself in so much, because apparently it's fantastic. Oh,
I'm already dreading, and this, again, is sort of, you know, a 1% problem, but I'm dreading
problem.
How I'm going to play The Outer Worlds, Call of Duty, and then Death Stranding, and then Star Wars. The crunch at the end of the year has gotten alleviated a little bit, because things get pushed to February now, but then February comes around.
Next year is going to be stacked, man.
That's the new month now.
Good
next year,
God.
I think
we've got
the point, to be fair.
We've got Cyberpunk, Last of Us, Doom, we've got Final Fantasy.
Rich,
like, how are we going to cope?
2020 is a ridiculous time, and we haven't even finished this year, but I want to know what you guys think down in the comments below. Do you think these delays suck, or are you hopeful that it will eventually, you know, turn the tide of the industry as a whole from away from releasing buggy games into complete games? But while you're down there, could you give us a like, share, subscribe, and head over to whatculture.com for more lists and news like this every single day. I've been Josh,
I've been Rich,
and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.